I've got a title here that I'd like us to consider, and we're calling this, Am I Gripped by the Love of God? Am I gripped or held by the love of God? And I want us to base this from 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 14. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 14. And here the Apostle Paul, in speaking of reconciliation, being reconciled to God, he says here, and he gives a clue to his walk and how God did what he did through him. And we see in verse 14, for the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. So he says, for the love of Christ compels us, or it grips us. That is a good word, a good translation. Compel, or it's gripped. I'm gripped, I'm held. It's the idea of being held in a vice. Grip tight, which of course a carpenter or somebody working with metal would use a vice in which to work on whatever they're working on. It holds it firm for the work to be done. And so here we get this idea that God holds us. He grips us. We could use this, the analogy of a mother or father that would grip a young child when maybe crossing a busy road with traffic. You would pick your child up and you would grip your child tight because of the danger. So what enables that grip, that vice? It's always motivated out of love, care, protection. And if we do that with our children, then how much more does Almighty God do that with us? And that's what I want to consider here. And this gave great comfort to the apostle in what he went through, the burdens of the churches and the persecutions and the physical beatings that he got. He knew he was gripped, held by God's love. You see, are you overwhelmed and held by the power of his love? Do you know that? Are you experiencing that? We should be. We should be aware that the love of God works when our love fails, when we reach the end of ourselves, when we feel at times, I can't go on, I've had enough. And we all go through those experiences, and they can be very real. But you find that there is a power that is working, and it is the power of God's love that won't let me go. He's holding me in a vice. He's gripping me. And we probably have asked God to do that in our lives. We probably, if we really mean business with him, we have probably said, Lord, please don't let me go. Don't leave me to myself, my own devices, my own thinking, my own plans. We probably prayed that and asked that from God. And so he sets in motion that which we ask him to do. You see, few know what it means to be held by the love of God, or to be gripped by God's love. You see, we tend to be controlled by our own experiences and our own feelings and what we want to do. And this, of course, is why we preach so much about the cross that we are to take up daily. Because the cross deals with our feelings, our emotions, our experiences, those things that are so real to us in the flesh. It deals with that in order that we can experience being held, gripped in that vice by God's love, knowing that he won't let me go. You see, God had made the reality of that to the Apostle Paul. How did he know that? He knew that by the trials that he was going through. You will not know this grip, God's love on your life, my life, unless you go through some trials. Because the trials reveal God isn't going to let us go. Whatever the trial looks like, how bad it may be, how negative it may look, whatever I feel or my circumstances, you see, else we won't know. We'll just merely talk about it. It will be simply words. But our words, our faith, what we read, what we preach and teach in the Word of God has to be translated into a personal experience and walk with God. And God knows how to transfer the reality of this walk and what we read and the scriptures. Don't ask me how he does it. That is the miraculous power of Almighty God. But when we come through a test or a trial and we come out the other side of it, there is a classic example that God has me gripped by his love because I couldn't have gone through this otherwise. And of course, he also says that he goes through it with us as well. He doesn't leave us on our own, even though it might seem he does. And that's why the Apostle Paul and the early Christians, they did what they did because of the love of God. Many of them could face martyrdom because of the love of God. They knew nothing could separate them from that love. And God wants to make that reality to you. You have to draw from that love, as you are not going to stay with this. You are not going to endure. The word of God, just hearing this word, is not enough unless you hear behind what God gives his love to me. He speaks to me in the manner that he does because he loves me. He chastens me at times because he loves me. He corrects me because he loves me. He blesses me because he loves me. You see, we always have to keep the love of God focused. I spoke on Sunday about the church at Ephesus that lost its first love. That's what it was doing. It was neglecting that God's love was behind everything, every experience that we go through, whether positive or negative, you see. If you fail in that, you will never understand the deeper life in the Spirit. And God wants us, as we're pressing so near now to the coming of the Lord, he wants us to know that we are gripped, we're held by the love of God. The same as the apostle, what he's revealing there. He's giving that out, his experience and testimony to these Christians. That you have it likewise as well. It's not just me, but you experience it as well. And when we grasp this, then this begins to speak to people. They will see it. This love compels us, when need be, to go that extra mile, to do those things that we wouldn't do in the natural, or to do those things that other people don't do. That is what does it, you see. And the essential part for this is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. What does it say in Acts 1 verse 8 that you all know so well? Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me, or you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. You cannot begin to witness to the love of God, to the Lord Jesus Christ, until you are empowered by the Spirit. And this is not just a one-off experience that many stop at. Many just think, oh, I've now arrived. I've got the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I now speak in tongues, which is its sign. That is just the start of what the power of the Spirit is going to work and create within you. And most do not see that. This is why we preach the deeper life. This is the very purpose of where you start with this, for the purpose that you are witnesses of me, not of yourself, not of what God has done for me. No, you witness Christ, him crucified, risen. That is what you reflect. That is the life you reflect, because he now resides and lives in each of us. That is what we project out to the world as new creations, now filled with the Spirit of God, empowered by the same power that raised him from the dead. It's mind-boggling. And it's as we yield to this, it's as we get out of the way, that he works within each of us a witness, or we are witnesses. And what do people do who witness? Well, they use them in a court of law. They look for people who are a witness, who have seen with their eyes or heard. It's used in evidence. And that is what God is doing with you and I. You are a witness to the God of this world that blinds the eyes, a liar and a thief. You witness, you come against that to reveal him, what he is, to the world. And it's not by your good works. It's not by you trying to decide how this is going to be done. It's done by the power of the Spirit in my life, in me, Christ in me, who reaches out through me. That is why the early Christians turned the world upside down like they did. The book of Acts is also called the Acts of the Holy Spirit. They had been empowered by the Spirit, and the Spirit was doing the works, the Holy Spirit, not man. The moment you try and do these works, you are religious. You're in bondage. That's what religion does. And it goes no higher than the ceiling. How subtle the enemy is in twisting this. But we have received the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth. And he is the one who makes us a witness. Not by might, not by power, by my Spirit, says the Lord. And you become those witnesses, which means that you accept everything that Jesus experienced. You are presenting him, not yourself, not FGA, not the pastor. No, you are presenting him to this dying world. And that is why he works the fruit of the Spirit in your life, which empowers your witness. How will they know? How will they know if you're Christian, if you don't forgive, or you forgive your enemies, or you are patient, you are long-suffering, you show that kindness, all of which is the fruit of the Spirit, all witnessing, revealing the life of Christ, because the fruit lies in him, not in you, it's in him. And he's empowered you now for the fruit to start to manifest. And this is what the baptism is for. Of course, it's also to heal, to lay hands on the sick, to cast out demons. That's just part of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But if you just look to the gifts of the Spirit, the charismatic side of it, you've missed what the baptism is about. And that's where so many went wrong. That's where Pentecostals have gone wrong. And this is why so many Christians say, I don't need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Utterly confused, because they've seen bad examples of what the baptism is for. How subtle the enemy is. And I deal with this one at times online. How the enemy uses this. A lot of them see the baptism of the Spirit just for the charismatic gifts. And you try and explain to them, that is just the start. That is just the open door. There is so much infinitely more. And some of them receive it, and some of them can't take it, because they've been so indoctrinated that that is what the baptism of the Spirit is for. And unless we are gripped by the love of God, we will never take this stand for Christ. Unless we are held, we're gripped by him. Another word for gripped or held is to be compelled by this love. That is also a very good word. I'm compelled by the love of God. And I cannot do anything else. It's all I know. And that's what God wants to get us to. That is all we know, is the love of God that compels me, that grips me. I don't know anything else, and I don't want to know anything else. That is all sufficient. That's what he wants to get us to, brothers and sisters. This is the only thing that will bear fruit. Because I stay with this, this will not then draw attention to myself. And this is a huge problem amongst Christendom. The idolatry, these ministers, a lot of them, with these huge mega ministries, a lot of it's nothing but idolatry. They draw attention to themselves. They know so little about being gripped by the love of God. And that's why so many follow the broad way. Most go that way. But it doesn't lead to eternal life. That is the deception of the enemy. Well, it's got to be of God. Look how many are following. Look how many are interested. Look how many go to that church. That's the carnal mind. It's the lie of the devil. I go back to Christ's life and walk. All his disciples left him at his betrayal. The apostle in Asia says, they all left me and forsook me. But he still remained faithful to God. When they all forsook Jesus, Jesus still remained faithful to his Father, that the work must be complete and finished. Why? Because he was gripped, he was held by the Father's love. Brothers and sisters, if we do not get this right, we will not endure to the end. We will not be ready because we know that the rapture is not far away. And this is what keeps us looking up as our redemption draws nigh. Let's look at a few scriptures, shall we? How about John 12, verse 32? John 12 and verse 32. And I, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all peoples to myself. So, this being gripped, held by the love of God, lifts Jesus up for the world to see. Now, this word to be lifted, it means to be exalted, to raise up, raise above the norm. This same word is also used in Matthew. This is interesting. This is in Matthew 23 and verse 12. Matthew 23 and verse 12. And whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. So there is what the Lord is saying, to lift, to exalt. He says, if I will be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. But before that can be done, you have to humble yourself. You have to be brought down first before you can be exalted. Why do you have to be brought down? Because he has to deal with self. Us, our pride, our unbelief, our doing it our way. And he says, when you allow me to bring you down, to lower you, then I will raise you up with the same power that raised me up also. And that is what the world will see. Are you getting this, brothers and sisters? This is what it's meaning. How about in John chapter 3, verse 14? John 3 and verse 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. But before the Son of Man could be lifted up, he had to be made low, like man, in his likeness. He had to become that sin bearer. And then God could raise him up with the power of Almighty God. And that is how God does it. And he does it as we are gripped by the love of God, who does that work within us. And then he raises us up, as it says back in Acts 1:8, that we will be witnesses. You cannot witness if you've not experienced or seen or know. You're of no good. The same as your evidence couldn't be used in a court. This is why we have four gospels. Do you know why we have four gospels? Four of these gospels by four different men give an account of Jesus, his death, his resurrection. It is to hammer home with four witnesses, four gospels, what God did through Jesus Christ in reconciling man and defeating death and raising him from the dead. It is that important. It's to influence us, to be a witness to us. And of course, the disciples and the early Christians who saw him, they witnessed. They saw the evidence. And God now is working that in you and me as we are held, gripped by the love of God. Well, going back to John 12. Let's look back here again. John 12 and verse 32. So he says, "And if I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all peoples to myself." So what does this word here mean, to draw? Well, in other words, it's an inward power. It's a power that leads. Also interesting in Greek, it will drag, it will pull. I'm reminded of the love of God answering the prayers of Abraham with Lot and his family. And we're told that the angels went there, and in the end, they virtually were dragging them out before the city was judged, burnt up. There is the love of God. The love of God, if need be, will drag us out of a situation. That's the inward power of the Holy Spirit. And he's ever working with you and I, drawing us away from wrong things, things that we shouldn't be involved in or looking at, or whatever it is, the things of the world that tries to drag us and pull us away, distract us. Here it is. He's drawing you away from that. He's working with you. Why? Because you're gripped by his love. And that's why you can't have fellowship with the world. You can't even have fellowship with your family if they're not in Christ in that sense. It is for the saints. It is our relationship with Jesus Christ. And that is why the power of the Spirit, the inward power, is ever drawing us away from those things that the enemy tries to trap us in. Keep us from the evil one and from temptation. That is in the Lord's Prayer. And here it is, that inward power that leads, drags us away sometimes. What does it say in John 6? Verse 44, John chapter 6 and verse 44, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at that last day." There's the same word, to draw. We're drawn to him, pulled, dragged. I tell you, the way God works is just mind-blowing at times. The love of God, how far it reaches. When we rebel, we come against God who's drawing us to himself. What about in John 21? John 21 and verse 6. John 21 and verse 6. And he said to them, cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some. So they cast, and now they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of fish. There's the same word. The same word that draws you is the same power that drew and gave them all those fish. You see, God was teaching them something. He was showing them that those fish in the net, all those fish, was going to be a sign of their ministry, drawing people unto Christ. Because they were gripped by this drawing power. And brothers and sisters, you have to be gripped. You have to be drawn by this. And if you're not, then it's for the asking. We have not because we ask not. We ask amiss. We're still asking for too many worldly things. We need to go deeper now in our asking. These things that affect and change, that change lives, that make us those witnesses, that save our loved ones and family. But it will never happen unless we are gripped by his drawing love, that power that draws us. It is so powerful, it is so great, the love of God. And remember, as I close, the love of God first loved you and I. Nothing within us appealed to him. Nothing we could do. Too far gone. Sin had done its work. But God called us from the foundation of the world. And that calling is a drawing. That is the power of God bringing it into being. The power of God, his love, is so great. The force of it has drawn us to this place, to this time, even before the foundation of the world was even laid. We have always been in the Father's heart. And that calling at that right time is that drawing of the love of God. It is absolutely profound. You're speechless when you begin to really see what this is all about. And the apostle, he reveals that, and he's showing, I go, I do what I do, I lay my life for the gospel, what I do, because I'm gripped, I'm held, I'm compelled by this love, and I don't know anything else. Let that be your experience, brothers and sisters.